Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is so fantastic to welcome in Gus from California Girls. How you doing?
Yeah, good.
I have to give you lots of congratulations, Gus, because not only is the album out, but also you're the first studio guest we've had in here for our show in 5 months.
Well, yeah, it was like, it's an exciting novelty to leave the house and like go to a thing. It really feels like the kind of, this is the great social event of my year so far.
If you can't play shows, you'll go door to door and just talk to people, will you?
Yeah, I'm just like running down the street, knocking on doors, like, you know, talking to whoever will listen.
It must be nice to feel like you've achieved something this year as well, though, having the California Girls album out. You've got something to show for it.
Well, I feel like I'm cheating the system because I finished recording it in like December or something. So it's this thing where it's like, I get all this praise now, but it's like, oh, I haven't thought about it in like 9 months.
Well, it's another achievement in what's been a pretty big banner year for you, right? Before you made the record, you moved to Sydney, which was sort of in tandem with you forming ideas about creating this record.
Yeah, well, I made the decision to move at essentially the same time I started recording it, and then it was in this build-up. I can be quite disorganized, but I'm also not spontaneous, so I really spent a lot of time, months, being like, am I going to move? And it was kind of, as I made the decision, I like locked it in, recorded the record, and then that was kind of this like frantic lead-up period. It felt like a parting, not a parting gift, because it makes it sound like I did it for someone, it was for myself, but I finished it, and then it was like right as I finished, I moved, and then it was like all the, you know, getting it mixed, getting everything ready to come out, but they felt like very like in tandem decisions.
It's not a Burning Bridges album though, it's not a fuck you to Canberra, this record.
Oh no, I mean it's such a funny thing, people in Canberra love talking about Canberra, and it's this thing where part of me is like, oh, like Canberra's stupid, but I think if anyone not from Canberra was to criticize it, I would be like throwing arms, like no, Canberra. Canberra people have a complicated relationship with Canberra.
Well, we could draw an idea that it's you embracing a bigger world, both on record and in life. I mean, I've noticed since you moved here, you've kind of found a crew to roll with. You recently gave props to the Marcus Whale and Rebel Yell albums. So did you feel like you found some people to run with when you came to Sydney?
Well, I think part of it, I really thrive off being with people. So a lot of it was, I'd kind of built friendships with those two anyway. And especially because Grace, who does Rebel Yell, moved from Brisbane, so it's like there was some level of like, you know,
she was your role model.
Yeah, well, I think her album is definitely a bit more of a fuck you to Brisbane than mine is, but I was lucky to kind of be moving with people that I was trusted, was close with, which was really like a big part of the move as well, because Canberra people, it's like Sydney, Melbourne, which one? So I think the closeness to Canberra geographically and then also friends was like, why not?
You chose wisely, Gus.
Yeah, oh, I'm very glad. Yeah, especially now, my friends who are in Melbourne, it's like, sorry.
It's also a thing where growing up a queer kid, you're sort of feeling like there's no one else like you and you're looking for your tribe. It must be that thing all over again as well, like moving to a new city and finding the right kind of people in a musical sense.
Fully. Well, and Canberra as well, like even though there is excellent queer people doing great work in Canberra, it's not comparable in any way to Sydney. And there's always kind of that wanderlust, like it really is a kind of level of, if you're a young person into alternative music or like culture, you always want to move anyway because you're like, well, there's more things in the city. But then it's like being any queer young person, it's like this additional, like, you know, it feels like this whole kind of big world or something compared to like suburban public service Canberra. It's not too fun.
Well, this California Girls album, Beat Boy, is a record about connecting, as the opening song, Pairing, lays out. It says connecting, I'm pairing, and either through love and sex or maybe the bump and grind of clubbing. Does it feel like that's what has influenced the ideas behind this record?
Totally, totally. I mean, yeah, it is so much about relationships, and I guess relationships say a lot about you. Like, when you move, you can kind of reevaluate, who am I? What do people think of me? So I think it was kind of reconsidering all these things. I mean, yeah, I don't know, maybe I am connecting better. I mean, it's a hard question, especially now that it's like, I can't, you know, obviously no one can go out in the same capacity, so it's like, you know, I'm connecting.
Yeah, 2020 is not a good yardstick for it all, really.
No, yeah, I mean, it was going very well, yeah. I think up until maybe about March, and then it's kind of shifted a bit.
But there is so much connecting in Beat Boy. There's exchanges of breath, lipstick, spit, cum, and more in the song's lyrics. There's a lot of connecting going on in this record.
Oh, totally. I mean, even like Pairing, the kind of, a lot of the beginning of Pairing is, I thought it was really funny to kind of think about, like, I had this Bluetooth speaker that when you would turn it on, it would kind of talk about, like, how it was trying to connect with something and then it would connect. And then I was like, That's just what life is sometimes. You're like a little Bluetooth signal, like trying to connect to something.
And Gus, is there a stark difference between romance and desire laid out in this record? There's so much desire and longing as a part of Beat Boy.
Yeah, I think there is a big difference. And I think the more I move forward or develop in music, the more I want to avoid romance. Because I think romance can be very straightforward and there's kind of like an outcome where it's like romance is like I'm interested in this person and then we like connect in whatever way. Whether I think desire, it speaks to a personal longing and a want that has so much more openness where it's not necessarily about I'm dating this person or I've had sex with this person. I think desire speaks more to these kind of vast expanses of like fantasy or even like existential questioning. Like I think it's much more about the self and I'm like less interested in like I wrote a love song because I love you. I think that feels too straightforward for me, maybe.
Desire is such a driving force as well. Small Birds demands. I want fucking affection and lots of attention. And also Out the Door repeats, I need you to come to me.
Oh, totally. As a person, I'm incredibly non-confrontational. So it's like the songs are a really good way to be like, I just actually really want attention and affection. And it's a way that like, you know, in a way that you kind of are probably a bit intense if you yelled that at a person. In a song, it's kind of, and maybe that's part of the desire thing. It's this like internal world where like I'm able to be like, no, I actually really want attention and like affection. But it's funny, like most people I've dated are really bad at kind of like piecing together. Like they're like, oh, that's a nice song. And then like there's whole reams of not even subtext, like text that I'm pretty easily avoided.
Musically, Gus, have you also hardened up California Girls for this album? Your debut 2016 album Desire was a lot more sort of wistful synth pop, but this time around there's quite a brutality to a lot of the songs.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is from a production standpoint. I think I always want the songs to be bigger. I'm always like, the song needs to be huge, like it needs to hit super hard. So there's that level. I think using kind of computers and stuff now more than synths, it's easier to make it bigger. But I also think I'm always trying to develop, I guess. In Desire, I think I got caught up in some of the romance components, whether it's like, I want it to be, I keep thinking about like cordial or whatever. It's like, I don't want it filtered down. Like I want straight shots of just like sugar.
And romance is dead in 2020 as well, guys.
Yeah, we can't even go outside. How are you meant to meet people? Like you shouldn't be, you know, exchanging air with people. Like, you know, you gotta be in the imaginary realms.
Despite the harshness of some of the vocals and subject matter, there's still plenty of playfulness to a lot of the music as well. I mean, Carabiner Boys could almost pass as Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, I mean, thank you. As intense or kind of earnest as a lot of it is, I also think life is full of complex modes. And I really don't like the idea of being super, like, I'm so serious. Like, I think there's always a fear that it's like, you know, you turn into like Nick Cave where you're like, I'm so serious and I'm
It must
so...
be exhausting having to live that as well.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm a normal person. Like, I'm not some twisted freak. Like, I like the idea that you can kind of do something really silly, but also quite earnest. And a lot of that, like, especially with Desire, I was kind of finding all these synth sounds that I thought were quite ridiculous. But I was like, I like challenging myself and kind of using these quite stupid sounds to make something that was really kind of sincere, maybe.
I like the fact the squiggly synth lines on Disorder sound almost like the Hampstead Ant song or something.
My mum is like, I hate that song. It sounds like the Crazy Frog. But that's part of it, you know. It's like, one, that's like a musical world. Like, I remember being a child and having the Crazy Frog come out. And when I'm like an eight-year-old, I'm like, this rules. But also, like, it's a sonic palette that I think is quite interesting. Like, it speaks to intensity in a way that I'm kind of into.
And Gus, your handle says California Girls is intellectual gay music. Do you still think about that when you're making a record?
Well, that was a really stupid joke. There's that whole like IDM intellectual dance music thing. This is kind of almost speaking to the crossover of like silliness where I hated the idea that it was like, I don't make dance music, I make intellectual dance music. And I'm like, I like a lot of that music, but I think to put this label on it is so, it feels very pretentious. So I thought it was kind of really funny to be like, I make intellectual gay music.
Well, it's so great to have this record out and about. And one day you will play shows again. One day you will truly be accepted into Sydney and
fingers
get
crossed
to do more shows. For now, we might have a listen to Grey off the record.
That sounds great.
It was great to have you in, Gus.
Thank you so
enjoy
much.
Sydney. Soak it up.
Yeah, you know, I'll walk home and enjoy all the kind of everything I can see on my walk home.
This is California Girls on Static. Thanks.
I can't believe